We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Well, it's been a momentous week or so, and naturally, we're all saddened by the loss of a woman who served faithfully for over a decade and who for many years has benefited from massive support. Yes, I'm sorry to say that Samantha, our scorer, can't be with us tonight due to a freak riding accident. Anyway, here are four men who decided not to throw their hats into the leadership election because they were afraid their hats stood more chance of winning than they did. On my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton. And on my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. And while Samantha's recovering, would you please welcome our replacement scorer, the lovely Margaret. We're going to start off with a game called Excuses, Excuses. One team is going to point the finger of accusation at the opposing team, who should attempt to excuse themselves. The first team then point again with the finger of accusation, and so on, until either their finger gets tired or I do this. Graham, you're going to start off now. Will you start off by accusing Tim and Willie?
Yes. Why did you vote for Michael Heseltine in the first ballot?
Because the whips said I had to vote for the mad blonde in the blue suit.
Why didn't you vote for him in the second ballot?
We were beaten up by madmen in grey suits.
But why? Why didn't you stick to your principles?
We're Tories.
Yeah.
Well. What did you have against her?
Let me answer that in three or four ways.
Here.
She was the single most wonderful person to lead this country since Harold the Wake. And she had the shapeliest legs since Pitt the Younger.
Here.
And why did you vote against her?
Let me answer that in another way. Self-interest came into it.
Who did you vote for in the second ballot?
Douglas Hurd.
No, you didn't.
How do you know? It's a secret ballot.
We looked.
Why did you look?
We're Tories.
Right, Tim, over to you now. Will you accuse Graham and Barry?
Right. How do you explain your pathetic performance in Australia?
We were upside down.
You were all out for 109.
Upside down, that's 601.
You've absolutely no idea how to play alderman.
Obviously, you've never seen me in pantomime.
We have seen you in pantomime, and I've never seen anything as grotesque as your widow Twanky.
I was upside down.
No, you weren't.
How do you know?
We looked. Why?
We're Tories.
Right. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Oh, dear.
This is the point in the show where I give the teams advance warning of the ball they'll be announcing at the end of the show. Teams, would you please think about some late arrivals at the, guess what, Conservative Party ball?
Your assistant, Margaret, doesn't want to know about that.
She's good at removing them.
Okay, teams, now, this is a new one on me. I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to ask you to tip your heads back and empty your glasses. What, I hear Barry murmur, is the show over already? No. It's time for a musical round called Gargle Song. I'm going to ask each of the team members to gargle a well-known song. And as usual, I'll award points for fluency of expression and deduct points for splashing the audience. Colin Sell will also be taking part, doing what, I don't know. And for insurance purposes, he's wearing his rubbers. Now. Tim, will you start off? Will you gargle when I'm calling you?
I don't know.
Wait, he hasn't called you.
I was saying I will.
Oh, I did.
Have a degree, I'd like to.
We're not going to sound like Douglas Hurd, aren't we?
Barry,
sir,
here's your song, please. Will you fill up?
Emotionally, you mean?
Your song is from The Merry Widow, Velia.
Dried. Oh, yes.
Finally, a bit difficult
right.
To hear the piano, actually.
Seriously.
So
seriously.
You're gargling.
Willie, while Graham drives himself
I couldn't
off,
see the piano.
Your song is We'll Gather Lilacs.
Not easy with the
I'm going to award any points for that. You're very much mistaken. Jim's lost 10 points already for spitting at the chairman.
Give my
10 points already.
We're going to rush on now to a game called Complete Quotes. I'm going to play some incomplete excerpts of famous people speaking, and I want you to finish them off. The quotes, I mean. Tim, you have a speech by Prince Edward.
Oh, it's perfectly true. I mean, you've got to be very careful who you talk to. If you talk to a girl more than 3 times in a week, then...
She might easily die of boredom.
Oh, that's unfair.
Unfair. Unfair to attack them when they can't reply back.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But it's true.
Graham, your speaker is Michael Heseltine.
You don't go around expecting people to squirt paint over you, and so it does have a sort of momentary shock.
But no hard feelings, Maggie. Let me wipe it off you.
Willie Rushton, I've got a quote here from Andrew Lloyd Webber.
What this will mean is that I'm going to be able to continue to devote more and more time to composing, because as people become aware of the fact that there is an excellent business team there, I can really do what I'm best at, which is
impersonating fish.
Barry.
That's very true.
Here's a quote that you've got to finish. It's by Oliver Reed.
I wanted, why show business? I can't spell, I can't add up.
I can't stand that.
Tim, one right up your street now. Edwina Curry.
I'm a North Country girl. I come from Liverpool, and I represented a ward in Birmingham for 11 years, and I represent a seat in Derbyshire. And where I come from, we call a spade, well, at the very least we call it...
a delightful coloured immigrant. That's what they do. Delightful.
Another 10 points up the spout. Graham Garden. Margaret Thatcher.
Now you can see, it's really a rather dark, purpley colour.
But don't worry, Geoffrey, I'll put a raw steak on it.
Willie Rushton, will you finish this quotation by George Best?
People always want you to, you know, you've got to give them the answer. You know, you've got to say, yes, it's true, or no, it's not. But this, everything isn't black and white.
No, there's teachers, bells, Hayes, Jamesons, baby showers, Taylor's Fort.
But yes, keep on. We never know. They might be listening.
Solemn moment now. Barry, will you complete this quotation by John Major?
I'd like, firstly, if I may, to thank my many parliamentary colleagues for the tremendous support they've given me today. It's an enormous...
fur-lined one, and Norma's going to be tickle pink.
Well, I suppose those of you who are listening are agog to know what the score is. We're going to... Now we have... Are you ready? Now we have a game called Historical Headlines. I want you to suggest how different newspapers would have reacted to famous events in the past. And let's start now with the charge of the Light Brigade. Who should we start with now? Barry.
Charge of the Light Brigade.
Charge of the Light Brigade. Sports Guardian. England 600, all out.
Daily Express. Lord Lucan found.
The Sun. Got us.
Cannons to the right of them is the Church Times, and cannons to the left of them is the Church Mirror. The Financial Times, they reported on the charge of the Light Brigade as electricity shares underpriced.
Knitting Weekly, cardigan souvenir issue.
One from the Star, capture the Russian guns and win a metro.
Times Literary Supplement, Lord Tennyson seeks rhyme for 600.
Racing Post, record field only 12 finish. Race unsafe, say RSPCA.
Knitting Weekly, Balaclava Supplement.
Teams, here's another. Here's a different event, teams. Same game, but different event. Henry VIII's sixth marriage to Catherine Parr.
Daily Star, King feels up to par.
The Sun, Bon King Henry.
The people, bloody hell.
Six in a row.
Daily Mirror, Hazard scores six. God bless you, sir.
Catholic Herald, Pope brings in excommunication charge. Or the, not.
The Independent, King weds, see page 19.
Times, King takes further advantage of the Reformation.
The Sporting Life, disaster for Ladbrokes as Cardinal Wolsey breaks bank with six-wife accumulator.
Okay.
There's one from ITN as well. Zip. Ouch. Sandigal, news at 10, Hampton Court.
Okay. Now, a very exciting and amusing game called Through the Keyhole. Behind me are some screens, and behind those screens, the producer has specially decorated two mystery cubicles to represent the rooms of famous and talented people, or Nigel Kennedy. One...
Just because he can't blow it.
One... order, order.
I remember where I was the day they shot him.
I'm going to ask one team to go inside
Bang.
The... I'm going to ask one team to go inside their mystery cubicle and describe what they see, and the other team should ask questions and have 1 minute to guess whose room it is. Right, Tim and Willie, would you please venture into your mystery cubicle? The answer's going up now on the computer display. And here for you listening at home is the mystery voice.
Geoffrey Archer's bedroom. Geoffrey Archer's bedroom.
Okay, Tim and Willie, can you hear me in there?
Sorry?
Tim, what about you?
About 3:15.
Okay, off you go now. And Graham and Barry, you've got to try and work out whose room.
What a simply mortal's room.
Lloyd Grossman's room.
We could be standing in a hall of mirrors. I've never seen so much glass. Gloss.
How wise of you not to attempt the voice, Willie?
Yes. Still gargling after all these years.
Oh, look at these robes for a peer. What does it say? Not to be used yet.
Obviously, the person who lives here enjoys reading. There are an enormous number of books. All by the same author. Questions?
What?
Not a question yet?
Who are the books by?
The same author.
Look at all these. Lots of walls surrounded with photos of Margaret Thatcher, still wet.
Any connection with the long-running radio soap?
Only by name.
He's obviously very well educated. The ties and scarves of a number of colleges at both Oxford and Cambridge are hanging around.
Is it a fragrant room, by any chance?
Yes. Oh, look, there's a little file here. Spotty back spot remover.
Barbara Cartland, isn't it?
Can we come out now? It's horrible in here.
Yes. I'm going to ask you, Graham and Barry, whose room do you think that is?
Oh, a shot in the dark.
Go on, Barry.
Geoffrey Archer.
Geoffrey Archer.
Geoffrey Archer's bedroom, you're quite right. Now, Graham and Barry.
In the dark. No.
Graham and Barry, off you go now to enter your mystery cubicle. The answer's on the display now, and here's the mystery voice for you at home.
Pamela Bordet's kitchen. Pamela Bordet's kitchen.
Sorry, Ewan, we can't quite see it. Yeah?
Okay. Right off you go, Graham and Barry. Can you hear me?
We can't get the door open.
Are you in there now?
We're in the, looks like a kitchen. It's a kitchen, this, isn't it? Yes. Good Lord, look at that egg whisk.
Batters included, it says on it. What you do with a blender shape like that, I'll never know. Oh, that's what you do with it.
Look at this. Look, somebody's left a giant Brillo pad in here.
It's got a face drawn on it. That's a nice touch. Oh, look, there's a Polaroid of Colin Moynihan.
Actual size?
Yes. Any questions?
Is it the kitchen?
It is the kitchen. Yes.
That was a giveaway. You said we're in the kitchen.
You're in some political place, yeah. You can be frank with me.
There's a House of Commons passed here. With a price list on it, funny enough.
Is this person a woman whose kitchen you're leaping about in?
On
the command, kneel, she'd ring up the Sunday Times.
I think you're getting close, Willie.
They know it's Molly Sugden. Hand of...
Okay. Hand of Bordello or something. No.
Pamela Bordello's
kitchen. The egg whisk was a giveaway because I've read The Observer. Lucky she was in.
We're going to have now what's laughingly called a musical round. Teams are going to improvise a blues, madrigal or calypso number around a theme suggested by the opposing team. Musical accompaniment is provided as usual by Colin Sell and the Croydon Sound Machine. That's enough. That's enough. Right, Tim and Willie, will you think up a theme and a style, please, for Graham and Barry?
Calypso, I think.
All right.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Tories. No, Turtles.
Turtle Calypso, none of this hero bit. Ninja Turtles.
I got a mutant ninja turtle the other day. I gave it to my brother and he took it away. He came back later all covered in slime
and said, I'll have another of those meat pies, but not so crusty this time.
Graham and Barry now, will you suggest the subject and style for Tim and Willie, please?
Wedgwood band.
And we haven't had a madrigal.
All right, a wedgie band.
Can we have a madrigal? We haven't had a madrigal for a long time.
All right.
They were wondering. What?
A madrigal.
I thought that was a madrigal. As I was wandering round the gulf, I spotted Tony Benn. He told me I'd been on a mission to shish a dumb hoosh hen. Ben said, I said now, President, please release the hostages.
And now you can't move in Baghdad for flocks of bleeding ostriches.
Okay, well, with the score nicely poised, we go on to... wait a minute now. You may have read in the newspapers that the elevators at Mornington Crescent Tube Station are to be taken out of use. This, as you can well imagine, is grave news. And in recognition of the fact, all proceeds from our final round will go to a special Mornington Crescent elevator reconstruction fund. Yes, it's ball time again. So, teams, while Margaret and I go off to inspect our mystery cubicle, will you please announce... Will you please announce the late arrivals at the Conservative Party ball?
No.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us...
The results aren't in yet.
Mr. and Mrs. Tickle Assassination and their daughter Polly.
Mr. and Mrs. Dinwall Tory and their daughter died in the Wool Tory.
And will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Turn and their son, Hugh Turn. I'm sorry, there is no Hugh Turn. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, no, there isn't.
But there's some marvellous turns in the cabaret. Kid Ory and his very tall brother, Height Ory. Thank you for enjoying the cabaret, and now we have the raffle.
Oh, look who's coming. Mr. and Mrs. Crawling Toady. And their son, A. Crawling Toady.
Oh, and will you welcome, please, fresh from the party conference, Mr. and Mrs. Dingo Vation and their son, Sam Dingo Vation.
Here come Mr. and Mrs. Unscrupulous Bastard. And their son, A.
And their daughter, Anna. And unscrupulous. Mr. and Mrs. Hoots. Their daughter, Grace Hoots. Grace Hoots. Grace.
And little Miss... Sorry.
Carry on.
Little sympathy for the new Prime Minister's wife. She's had her knockers. That's enormous knockers.
And there's Mr. Ed, the stalking horse.
Dennis Scratcher, he's got a dullitch.
And low point of the cabaret, Geoffrey Archer will be seen eating Labour MP Paul Boateng. And even worse after that, he's going to sing the Eton Boateng song.
Pray welcome the two-faced stoats. I haven't brought any children at all, I don't know.
There's Michael Heseltine telling Sir Geoffrey Howe, but I don't think Douglas heard.
All the way from Holland with their host, Hugh Dykes, Mr. and Mrs. Van Yeers, and their daughter, Ella Van Yeers. Lord Whitelaw in a fur coat, that's his willy warmer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've come now right up to the end of the programme, and the teams have come to the end of their resources.
Oh, there's a trapeze artist, Tom, for late addition to the cabaret. Margie Knoll, she can swing either way. Oh, a taxi's just drawn up and nobody's got out. It's the Prime Minister!
We've come to the end of our time now. It only remains for me to say on behalf of myself and the teams, goodbye.
Barry Fryer, Graham Garden, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Searle setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Jon Magnusson. Thank you.